being real and talking about it. Today we're very excited to have with us some very nice guests. We have our friend Amos Glick.
Hi, Giselle.
Hello, Amos. Actor, improviser, musician, podcast favorite. We have with us, if you was with us back on the very first show, perhaps you remember someone very big and very special.
He barely fit in your living room.
Barely fit. Well, he's back again because we're out on the back porch, so we have more room. We're talking about John Pirocello.
Hello. Hello, John. Hello, Giselle. Thanks for having me.
Actor, improviser, yeah. Good friend. Hello, yes. Nice to see you again.
Very nice to see you too.
And we also have with us, if you was back with us on, was it December 19th, 2015?
This requires a Let's lot of yes. attendance.
I don't remember.
It feels like it was.
It feels like it was. But you might remember her from the Living Room Comedy Show. Well, she's back to be funny again. We love her, comedian Kate Lure.
Hello.
Yay. We're so happy to see you.
I'm happy to be seen.
And you are wearing a bright blue t-shirt, which I have to tell you, when you first walk into the house, it makes me happy to see it.
It's a School of Rock t-shirt. Knowledge is power. It's really a life anthem.
I'm just a bill.
Yeah. See?
If I could skate.
Conjunction, what's your
lolly, 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 get your adverbs here.
See? Yeah.
Oh, I wish we had those in Germany when I was growing up.
Lolly, lolly, hausen, unsere adverbs hausen.
Did you not have adverbs in Germany?
The whole thing is very different and very serious. They don't sing songs about it.
And the conjunction train is
other things are power.
They just scream.
Yeah, we go there.
Oh no, we're there.
We take the express and we're there.
There we are. Hello, everybody. Hi.
Again, as I say on the other podcast, on Marty's podcast, I apologize. I feel real bad about that whole thing. that was a really bad.
That's what we've been waiting for. Yeah. So yeah. So now it's okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah. Look what you've done for
maybe
so many.
One day we'll apologize for ours.
We're going to be, because Amos and John are here today on the podcast together, and they both are improvisers, and they both teach and do improv.
No, we're not. Oh, wait. That's a little improv joke.
And Kate, you're an improviser too.
Sure.
And I've just been learning how to do it. It's pretty fun. So I thought we kind of have a little bit of an improvisation theme for today's show. Mm-hmm. So I thought we could start off with an improv. Just jump right into it.
Yes.
First, let us talk about the rules of improv for people who don't already know. Because we're making stuff up as we go along in the improv scenes, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And
making things better.
So what is when you say yes and?
Yes.
That means?
And.
That means you say yes to whatever's happening in the scene and you add more information. That's what my teacher say.
Yeah, that's the most basic way of doing it. Basically, what you want to do is accept your partner's offer and make your partner look good. So even if your partner, let's say your partner's offer is that they're freaked out and they're just staring at you, accept that and make use of it and justify it to keep the relationship and the scene going.
Yeah.
So the yes and is not just, you know, it's a very open way of being.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
Some people think, oh, I just have to say yes. The very basic
premise is you say
yes, you know, hi doctor, yes, I'm a doctor and I'm operating on you. That's the yes and the and. But if I didn't say that and Jonathan was just looking at my eyes and I looked scared and then he took that on and then furthered the scene by saying,
well, you seem worried.
Great.
Please.
So the scene is still moving ahead.
Yes.
Right.
Even though I didn't say anything.
Because
he made me look good.
Because we don't...
It's not hard, almost.
We don't have the benefit of a script to tell us what to do. So this acceptance is a way of building the script together.
Yeah.
Now, I was actually talking today to my shrink. This topic of improv, the topic of mistakes came up, and are we? Is it okay? Should we be moving on with the improv right now, or is it okay to philosophize?
Go philosophize.
All right, so
we can switch up the order. You see how I say yes to that?
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
I'm learning.
And you'll never be on the show again.
No,
goodbye.
So, like a mistake in the improv world, like a mistake is the only thing in the world that you can't do on purpose, right? And so it's I'm open to but this is what I've come to. I'm open to someone changing my mind about it. But it is so in other words, oftentimes the mistake is the only real truth that you'll ever find. And among improvisers, it's a truthful thing, right? So like just in your scenario, the person who's like actually scared, that's real and that's truthful. And so an improviser, that's like a fire in the wilderness. Like it's a gift. It's a gift. And so that's what you gravitate toward
that
because that's right. You welcome them. And then as Amos was saying, it is your job as an improviser to make that mistake be exactly what was supposed to happen, and that's the justification. In other words,
and making your partner look good.
That's right. Yeah. Well, that's
how you
make them look good.
If we all make each other look good as improvisers, if we all take care of each other, chances are we're going to find stuff that's really joyful, as opposed to going, "Oh, I bet I can make a really good joke right now based on what he said."
That's
what your concern is.
Well, that's one of the things you're up against, right?
It may be improvisation, but as far as the community of improv, at least that I'm in, you know, the idea is to create something special, not just to make stuff up, but to be truthful and honest in the moment and use whatever comes up, mistakes or.
Well, let's go ahead and do one.
Yeah.
Do you have a game we can play?
When you said bring a game, I brought a game, but it's not an entertainment game. It's like a
deep game.
It's a game that if the listeners were listening, they might get a sense of what is required of an improviser.
Let's save that for a little later
it's
in
more
the show.
Nuts
that's
and bolts.
Yeah, that's a good. Do you have a fun game we can play?
Well, I was just going to,
What is it?
Yes. How about if we do like a little soap opera? And two of us will start, and then a third person will come in and bring something into the soap opera. And, and remembering that it's a soap opera, so everything's heightened and exaggerated.
Okay.
Potentially.
Okay.
And then the person who's been in there the longest, there won't be that person in the first one because they will have been in there the same amount of time. One of them will leave, find a reason for leaving.
And then
in other words,
justify the
offer that was brought in, and then find a reason to leave.
Okay.
And then we'll keep going around in a circle and just
leaving
keep
and coming in.
Leaving and coming and leaving and coming.
And for the listeners playing at home, I will just say that what we're going to aim to do is to endow each other or ourselves with names.
Let's just
relationships
see how it play out.
Oh, just we were talking about what we were just okay.
Yeah, now let's just
and
do
I thought, it. And I thought it was a good because it's a good opportunity to do. I love radio theater, so
yeah, let's do it.
Keeping in mind that we are in the theater of the mind now, and that people that we would need to sort of do things that like you would on the radio.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
Where does space work?
does the scene all take place in one scene with all the one location with all the coming and going, or
whatever,
maybe a change?
Anything
we'll
can
see
happen.
What happens.
Sure, we'll see what happens.
Okay, location for us to start?
On a cruise ship.
Okay, we take you now to the cruise ship. Do you have a music to start us?
You have Anthony.
Don't you
the
have cruise
ship
music.
We're pretty clear that we were going to do a cruise ship. We said cruise ship.
We don't put down.
That's a joke about not having cruise ship. Because how could you have a cruise ship?
Is
it cruise shippy?
Yes, cruise shippy. Okay.
Captain.
Yes, ensign.
We've got a problem, starboard side.
Starboard side. That's the right side. Starboard.
I think it's the left
side.
Is
it the left?
Port. No, port is left and starboard's right. You're right.
So
I'm sorry. I'm new.
I am too. So it is. This is our first cruise together. We're in this together. So let's just stick together.
I just wanted to take a second.
Yes.
To say that I think you're doing a real good job.
Well, thank you,
as
Ensign.
A first time captain.
You,
but that's
there.
Besides that's,
no,
the point.
It,
I'm here.
No, it's not. It's exactly the point.
Well, but
that is exactly
okay,
the point.
Okay. But
where are we in this world if we do not love each other and respect each
you're
other?
You're right, sir. But
yes.
We did hit an iceberg.
Oh, I see.
So that's
that
why
is,
I'm here.
Okay, that is important.
We are losing. Mm-hmm. We're gaining, I should say.
Yes. Water.
500,000 gallons a second.
Well, and the ocean is losing that, as you point out.
That's
at the
true.
Same time.
Thanks, Obama. Global warming.
Exactly. So there is both two sides to every situation here. Yeah, some I hear there. I thought I heard the door knock. Yes. Yeah. Come in.
Hello. I'm the ensign.
Yeah, the other ensign, of course.
Yeah.
You're
the
nemesis.
Evil twin ensign.
Hello, Daniel.
Hello, Portia.
I've just been on the back side of the boat, the back starboard side.
Yes.
I am going to
that would be the aft?
Yes, aft. And right after we hit this iceberg.
After the aft.
Yeah, we hit a lagoon full of gin.
Mm. Gin?
Yes.
God.
We're floating in a giant ice cold martini.
I'm going to go get some ice. I'll be back.
Okay. Well, Daniel.
Yes, Portia.
I know you've had trouble with alcohol in the past, so I'm sorry that I had to...
If he hadn't gone to get ice, I would have left to drink all the gin that was there.
No, Daniel, you've worked so hard to rebuild your life, and you have that lovely fiancé.
Yes, I do.
Is she here on the cruise?
Priscilla, yes.
Yes, I love her.
Maybe that's her at the door. Let me go get it.
Daniel, something horrible has happened.
Hello, Priscilla.
I was sleeping in my cabin. Oh, hello, Portia. Oh, hello. I didn't know you would be here.
Hello, Priscilla.
I told you it was over between us.
Everywhere.
I'm sorry, Priscilla. Can't we put the past behind us? Would you like a big martini?
Well, yes, Priscilla, that sounds lovely.
I will go get you one.
I already feel so unsteady on my feet, though. That's what I came to talk to you about, Daniel. I was sleeping in my cabin, and suddenly something lurched, and there was a big bang, and then all of a sudden, people were dancing the merengue and so happy. It's so... I didn't know what was going on.
Well, the band has been instructed to play as we go down, because we've hit an iceberg and we're all going to die. That's what is happening.
Oh, fantastic. I am in incredible debt, Daniel, and now I won't have to pay it off. I'm so glad
that
to
is
hear
a
it.
Good point. Priscilla, our last hello?
Ensign Daniel?
Yes?
Hey, it's me, Freddy, the cabin boy. I got the things that make you float, the life
preservers.
Life preservers, and I just wanted to know if I should I pass them out, or...
Yeah, you should pass them out.
Pass them out to people?
Never mind, I'll do it. Give them to me. I'm out of here.
I'm sorry.
I love you.
I love you too, Daniel. Oh, I love when he takes control of a situation
he
with anger
so
and impatience.
He's so powerful, isn't he? It's so very manly. Attractive, isn't
yes.
it? When he just takes charge and it makes you...
Now, Freddy, we're going to have to talk about death, but someone's here. Just a moment.
It's just me, Ensign Portia. I brought you your martini.
Oh, thank you, Priscilla.
I brought an extra one if you would like one,
cabin
boy. Oh, that's
so kind of you. No one ever gives me anything.
Well,
thank you so much.
I saw the captain give you a smack the other day.
Oh, but I deserved it. I deserved a snack. I'm a...
You guys, the captain jumped overboard.
And we're leaning very far to the side.
That means that the senior ensign is now in charge of the ship.
He's a little overweight, it's true.
I'm in charge.
I'm married
to
a captain.
Do what I say. Do what I say.
Okay, you bet I will.
What?
Touch your nose with your left hand.
Is that port or starboard?
I don't know. I'm freaking out.
Is that port or starboard? That's what you call a bringing it back.
That was a bringing it back.
That was a bringing it back.
That's right. Okay, so that's how you do improvisation.
Apparently.
You try to make it up as you go along.
That was the most comedic soap opera I've ever.
I'd watch that soap opera every week. Who wouldn't? Who wouldn't watch that?
Maybe by episode 13, the boat will actually be underwater.
Right.
Were you trying to say that the captain jumped off and so he was very fat and that's why the ship was listing over? Is that what you were getting at there?
Oh, me?
Yeah, Giselle.
When was I do that?
Oh, you just said we're listing. The captain jumped off the ship and you said we're listing over.
Oh,
I think
it was coincidence because I was thinking, you know, that maybe the boat was just starting to sink.
Gotcha.
Amos. We will do more improvisations later in the show.
You know, it'd be good to do like something really deep and nuts and bolts kind of thing. If we could do that later, that would be good. Yeah.
Let's see if we can squeeze room for it in the show.
Or if anybody has an idea about that.
Yeah. I don't.
But Almost Click is with us. We're so happy to have you. And you just have joined an improvisation group.
That's correct.
Called Fraudway LA.
That's right.
And last time you was on the show, I promised we was going to talk about it, and then I forgot. And I'm very sad about that. So today I wanted to talk about it right up front and hear all about it. First of all, tell us, what is Fraudway LA about?
Well, Fraudway LA is a Los Angeles-based musical improvisational group. And what they do is like a 45 to 50 minute, at this point, I think it changes depending on, you know, the venue and different situations. But right now it's about a 45 minute show. And they do a basically a one-act musical
and
from beginning to end. But it's genre-based. So they started by doing something called Camonot. I wasn't around for that, so I'm assuming it was kind of, you know, tales of knights and
like a Camelot type of thing.
And added with music. And so they work on a certain style of music to go along with it. Now we're doing Murder in the Key... I've forgotten the name of the show. What is it?
It's kind of arbitrary, isn't it?
Murder in the Key, or Something in the Key of Murder.
Yes, that's right. Music in the Key of Murder.
Of Murder.
And so it's a film noir musical. And actually, this Saturday, we're doing a show at Impro in Los Feliz.
Oh, good. So
although I won't
be
in this show because I'll be out of town, but the company will be performing.
Is that still Close's deal? Impro? No, he's Impro.
No, well, actually,
Theater Sports.
They're the Theater Sports franchise in Los Angeles.
And so recently you did a show, and we happen to have a little snippet of
little
the
snippet.
Opening number song that you sang.
Give a little idea.
Let's give a listen to that.
I'm going to ask you one last time. Give me a type of place or location that would exist in the 1940s, like a bar or a soda shop.
Beauty parlor.
Beauty parlor. At the center of town is a special place.
Almost.
Yeah, thank you.
That's really great. So you just made that up right on the spot.
Yes, we get a one word or a title for the show based on a location that you might have in the 40s or 50s.
Right.
And then we make up a show based on that. And we start by, that song represents the opening song where while the other improvisers are sort of setting the tone physically, like setting up a space. Thematically and physically. And
I watched a video of it.
My role was just to sort of sing very generally about themes and maybe sort of set the tone with maybe some foreboding of fear and mystery.
You did it exactly right.
More symbolic than specifics in that opening song.
Yeah,
so.
I sense that. And in the video, everybody was dressed 1940 American style, and they was making like they was at a beauty parlor. There was parlor people and customers, and then they start snapping and dancing a little bit, and it was really, it set the whole scene very good. And they have different looks on their faces, like some was afraid. afraid and some was mean looking, you know, so they're setting up maybe what's going to happen later.
Yeah, or at least just giving, you know, the tone of it all.
Is it a challenge for you to improvise as a period character? Like, at least when I get to improvise, I just be myself, you know.
I actually really like the genre work, and that's why I chose to take classes and start hanging out sort of in the impro community, because what they do is genre-based narrative improvisation. I mean, they also do the theater sports thing, which is more short form and games and stuff like that, but and scene and small scenes. But I like getting a character or multiple characters and being in it, and I don't care what form it is. It's, you know, if it's film noir, it's film noir. If it's Shakespeare, it's Shakespeare. I love it all. I mean, in order to do it well, you have to study those genres. So,
and it gives you like
issue.
A structure.
Yeah,
to the work
themes.
Within?
You talk like about boundary. Themes, language. There's certain language.
Oh,
you can't talk about like, well, I didn't know you were coming because I didn't get your email. You can't do that in film noir because they didn't have email in the 1940s.
What did they have? You're like a telegram.
Well, they had World War II and stuff like that.
I mean, in terms of
communication. Right. So, and of course, we get caught out all the time with that. You're going to make mistakes, and that can be fun, or it can maybe make something break down a little bit, too. It depends on what happens. But to me, I mean, I was working in the circus for 10 years, so I haven't been doing formal improv for that long. So just improvising in general is panic-inducing. And,
oh, do you get afraid?
I mean, not really. I have a lot of confidence and stuff, but I get up there and I find that I'm tongue-tied. I don't remember feeling that way when I was really deep into it before I moved to Las Vegas and started working as a clown. But
just like you're not as practiced as
exactly.
You were.
No, that's what it is. But I mean, she was asking, you know, does doing a genre thing, is that a problem or does it make you, is it hard? And for me, that's not hard. You study it, and you figure it out, and you learn it. And the hard part is doing the really good storytelling and being present and slowing down.
Oh,
and you know, these people are all operating at a pretty high level, so I have to raise my game and to be in it. And
wow.
You know, I think I do a pretty good job, but I'm aware that like I'm working.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love it though. It's this long form narrative improv is the most fun.
Yeah,
it really is, especially when it involves a musical element.
Have you ever had a funny mishap happen onto the stage?
Well, I mean, I'm sure I have. I mean, here's the thing. I wasn't really listening this one time. It wasn't the one that show. It was a different show, but someone else labeled that me and a scene partner were going to be in a car. And so we were setting up the car, and I instinctively, as this guy was saying something, I instinctively, and I heard it, but I wasn't really paying attention because I was kind of freaking out about what was going on. I instinctively just sat in one of the seats, but he was describing that the fat, overbearing one, you know, like he made a sort of disparaging remark about this other character, and it hadn't been decided who was who yet. So by sitting where I sat, I chose for the other guy that he was the fat dopey one, and the whole audience laughed when that happened. So, and I felt bad that I
figured it out. How did you figure out that you'd done that?
Because immediately the audience laughed, and I realized he had said that, you know, oh, the fat one's sitting in the passenger seat, and it was like, you know, oh, the fat one's sitting in the passenger seat, and I sat down on the driver's seat. The other guy sat down in the passenger seat, and I was like, oh, I just labeled him as fat. You know, he is bigger than me, but he's not fat, but you know. Stretch the
you may have set him on a path.
I think he's having problems. Joseph, if you're out there and you're listening, you know, let's talk.
Yeah. I know. Working on that.
He has gotten fit
a lot of work
since that show.
But the thing is, mishaps are usually gifts. Like that ended up being kind of a funny joke. Whether it looked that I was pimping him out as the fat one or just, I don't know. But somehow it was funny to everybody.
Well, it was organic. You know?
Yeah.
So. I liked it.
But I can't think of like a major, like horrible faux pas or anything right now. Because I've only done two shows with them, and most of my improvisation was 10 years ago, which I don't remember.
Did you ever, in your show in Vegas, did you guys ever leave
script?
Oh, yeah. You know the term send in the clowns? We had to do that numerous times. You know, the big shows in Vegas, especially the Cirque du Soleil style shows and the Cirque du Soleil shows, all have these huge mechanized stages and stuff, and those break down all the time, or an aspect of them does.
So you guys would actually head out, and that's your job at that point?
Yeah, as long as 15 minutes, we'd be out there.
Wow.
And so, but it's a totally different type of improvisation. You're not telling a story. You're not trying to, you know, forward a narrative.
Did you have clown bits that you would do?
Some stuff we eventually... I wasn't an original clown, but we... there was some stuff that they had come up with for a pre-show that was then cut, and sometimes we would use pre-show bits, and then by being on stage numerous times when the show would break down, we developed our own games, and they literally came out of nowhere. And then if we liked it, we would then say, oh, if we have another show hold, let's do that thing again where we all did what A, B, or C, and see, and maybe we'll add D and see if we can do that. But we didn't really talk too much about it. We didn't practice it. And then
That must have been just exhilarating.
It was
exhilarating. That would happen, yeah. Like just
1,500
like,
people, too. Huge audience.
1,500 people, and then like how many people in your show? Like 60?
90.
90. There's like 90 people in the show.
But we were the only ones on stage.
Yeah.
When the show broke down, if they could, everybody just leaves the stage, and we go out and they go...
I'm just saying that moment where everybody goes, oh, the thing's
Sending
not
the
rising...
Clouds.
And everybody is in that you're heightened awareness, I'm sure. And they're like, we're leaving. The clowns are coming in.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's exciting.
Yeah. But actually, somebody actually called me, a friend of a friend, emailed or called me and interviewed me because she was both studying improvisation and clown. And she wanted to talk about improvisation as a clown. And I thought that was very interesting because at that point I was very steeped in this long form narrative, having done it in San Francisco a lot. And so it was an interesting discussion with her about what I felt the differences were and what skills as an improviser I was honing as a clown as opposed to more of a storyteller improviser.
What's the whole, there's the clown logic, right? There's a whole clown the clown way of thinking, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
It's lovely.
Yep. And at the time I was taking Viewpoints there's a lot of stuff in Viewpoints that can really help. It can help both
What's
improvisers.
What's Viewpoints?
Haven't we talked about it on this show?
We have not.
We
not
talked
about
it. Specifically kinesthetic response, which is an aspect of Viewpoints.
This is heady stuff.
Yeah, I don't want to get too much into
Let's do another improv.
Okay.
this is one that my teacher was telling me about. We do it in the class one time. It involved two people. Who would like to do it? Okay, Kate raised her beautiful hand. And who else would like to do it? And John Pirucello? Great. Okay, Kate. And this one is called New Choice.
Mm.
If you know this game?
I do.
You guys will start off with a relationship and you'll start the scene together and give us set the location for yourselves. And as you are talking, Amos and I will call out at different times, New Choice! New Choice! New Choice. And every time we say it, whatever you have just said, like if you've given a noun, like you say, oh, I was just chopping this tree. You know, you give an action and a thing. You would have to give a new choice. Like, oh, I'm just cutting this tomato. New choice. I'm just painting the side of this fence. Whatever it is. So that's new choice.
We don't have to use those.
You
so
get
we can
to make up all
okay,
you want. All right. Remember, we got to play smarter than we are.
Okay.
You know it.
Okay.
Have you ever played this game before?
Sure, yeah.
You know this game.
I know this game.
Okay. Here we go. What is a good relationship for them?
Let's see. How about teacher and student?
Teacher and student. We take you now to this teacher and student.
Thank you for coming after school to talk to me, Cynthia. I just want you to know that I haven't told your parents yet about any of this, so I thought maybe we could work it out first before we involve anyone else.
Yeah, I mean, Mr. Jefferson, I didn't really expect when you asked me, you know, to check the math on your taxes that
No choice!
I didn't really expect when you asked me to take the class guinea pig home.
No choice!
I didn't really expect that when we took that camping trip up to Big Bear that I would get to see you wrestle a puma, but it was amazing
Well, I'm glad that excited you. I that was the point, was to impress you, I think.
It did, Mr. Jefferson.
Because, I think it's important in a child's development that they have people that they can look up to.
New choice.
And I think that it's important that a student and a teacher get close so that the
new
learning...
New choice.
I think that it's important to go camping because living in the city is not good for your lungs. And I am mostly concerned, above all else, about your lungs.
Well, I also have been concerned about my lungs, Mr. Jefferson. So what impressed me the most was how much air capacity you had when you were wrestling that puma. And I thought, if I'm going to be a professional wildlife wrestler like you someday...
Which you absolutely can be if you would like that.
I mean, I'm just following your instructions.
You can be anything you want, Cynthia.
And the example that you have set. Mm-hmm. You are the best wildlife wrestling instructor a girl from Pacoima could ever hope to have. And your lung capacity, I think, is second to none.
Well, I'm going to tell you how I got that lung capacity.
Please do.
I take a hot water bottle and I blow it up.
No choice.
I go deep into the ocean and I rest on the bottom of the ocean
no
as
choice.
Long as I can. I go into an airplane and I jump out and I breathe the atmosphere as it's very thin up there until my parachute opens and it increases my lung capacity.
No choice.
I take other people's lungs, athletes, and I have them transplanted into my own body because it's a lot faster and more efficient, actually. They've done the work, and now I get the lung capacity.
You know, Mr. Jefferson, I always saw you as someone who really just took from others what he needed without regard to their own livelihoods.
Oh, what a kind
and
thing to
say. And that's the example
you,
I plan to follow in my own life. I feel like it's the morally less efficient way to go, but you know, it's also expedient.
Well, it is expedient and it gets you, and if you can get somewhere, you can inspire somebody else to get somewhere too. And remember, the ends justifies the means.
Yeah.
Yay! That's a really fun game. I like that. I wish that everybody could see the looks on your faces whenever we say new choice, because there's like panic and excitement.
Yeah.
And
I loved it when you guys leaned in when it was like, and not because I could tell right as I started to set that up that they were like,
when the lung, when you start the lung stuff, we're like, okay let's see what he can do with this. That's a really good one. Can Amos and I try one of those together?
Absolutely.
Will you new choice us?
Fantastic.
Okay,
yes.
What can be a relationship for us?
Judge and defendant.
Judge and defendant. Okay. We take you now to this judge and defendant.
Next case. Is the defendant Mrs. Parabola here?
Yes, I am. I'm Mrs. Parabola. Hello.
I see, Mrs. Parabola. You're here on 4 counts of burglary.
New choice.
You're here because you raped a cat.
New choice.
You're here because you stole 4 chickens and mutated them into no-flying automobile birds.
Science marches on. And I wanted to... I took those 4 chickens. I made 4 little... what did I make? Autos.
Automobile.
Yeah, little Alfa Romeos. Your Honor, I have one outside if you want to take a ride.
New choice.
New choice.
Your Honor, I have one in my pocket. It just take water to expand.
New choice.
Your Honor, I throw myself on the mercy of the court. Put out your legs and I'll throw myself on them.
Oh my, I believe that's contempt of court.
New choice.
I believe... that you are coming on to me.
You see right through me. I feel so vulnerable.
I'd like to call a sidebar.
Yes, hello.
Mrs. Parabola.
Okay.
I don't care if you stole 4 chickens or 4 pieces of gold bullion. I want you.
I was thinking the same thing.
New choice.
I was thinking we could take this into chambers.
New choice.
I was thinking my Alfa Romeo is parked right outside.
New choice.
I was thinking about adding a third person to our lovemaking. The bailiff?
Your Honor?
Yes.
The red button went on.
Hello, bailiff.
Hello.
I'm Mrs. Peretti.
Come in and close the door, bailiff.
Okay.
The defendant.
There. Yes. Door shut.
Bailiff.
Yes.
Take off your clothes.
Okay.
New choice.
Bailiff, stand on your head.
Okay. Here we go.
Okay. That's good. Then I'll just put my foot here.
Okay.
You just put your arm there.
Did you shave? Your skin is so soft.
Oh, I use cream. It's your choice. I've been swimming with dolphins and learning from them.
New choice.
I'm actually a baby.
New choice.
I don't have any skin. That's for mica that I had put all over my body.
Science marches
on.
The scales of justice will persevere.
Unseen.
That is really, really, really fun.
Yeah.
Question for you. On a scale of 1 to 10, I had about...
Whose was better?
No. On a scale of 1 to 10, I had about a 10 doing it. How fun was it for you listening to me do it?
Oh, it's a lot of fun. Because as you said, watching somebody sort of struggle and then like... What comes out of you when you can't think about it? When you don't have the ability to plan?
Oh, yes.
What just comes spewing out of your subconscious or
it's
whatever?
It's like
it is,
those
is
mistakes
lovely.
You were talking about.
Or to edit.
Yeah,
it forces
you,
you to
just
make
stop editing.
Yeah.
And it's almost always better than plan. What did Cranny used to say? A C answer.
Who's Crana?
Oh, Jim Crana, our improv mentor.
Where
San Francisco.
That's where John and I met.
Yeah, that's where we met. And he would say that a C answer quickly is better than an A, you know, that we've had to wait a long time for. You know?
Oh.
So it's sort of his way of saying just like it's diminishing returns. The longer you wait and the more you think about it, you're probably not going to come up with something much better than if you just say something right away.
Yeah. You know? Do you guys think that improvisation is and the rules thereof are also maybe like a blueprint for interpersonal relationships?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It can be. I mean it's all kind of how you apply it, I think.
Say yes.
I think it's like a
accepting, make your partner look good.
I
be in the moment.
I couldn't agree with
listening.
You. What?
Well, listening.
I can't. What? I don't. I'm
not talking
I'm
over
too
each
dumb
other.
To listen
talking
to
over
you.
Each other.
I'm playing sorry. Smarter than you are.
What now?
Playing smarter.
I mean, the scales of improv, the things you practice, give you skills that would definitely help. Better listening, taking in your environment and the people around you better, trying to, you know, actively listen and you know, in scene work, you make your partners try to look better. So if you're not just out for yourself in a conversation and you care about the person you're talking to, that's good. But then, you know, also in improv, you try not to censor yourself. But if you just said anything you were thinking as quickly as it came into your head in real life, you might get into trouble.
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of, well, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, if you combine it with trying to make your scene partner look good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And mistakes being gifts.
Yeah, I like that. Mistakes being gifts, yeah.
Not being afraid to fail, that's a big one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I think that's
and that helps in any pursuit.
Yeah.
I'm quite certain that like some, you know, I just feel so grateful that I can remember like it was yesterday just going, somebody saying, oh, you should try improv. Like I had come to San Francisco to be an actor and I was there doing voiceover. That's where I started is in voiceover. And one of the, I was like, I don't know how it happened that it got in my head, but I was like, I should check out improv. Hey, does anybody know any improv? And someone, yeah, Crana. Go see Crana. And I sort of like think about that moment and how that just kind of like changed everything. Because you talk about like it being a way for interpersonal relationships and that sort of thing. It's almost like a religion for me in a way. You know,
wow.
in that I feel like the things that I learned and continue to learn in improv absolutely make me a the kind of person I want to be. I don't know if it's better or not, but it's the kind of person I'm trying to be with others, you know.
And coming up later in the show, we will find out a little bit more about who that person is. But right now, we're going to take a little break. Later in the show, an ex-boyfriend tries to retrieve something important in a sketch from the Giselle Show podcast players. We're going to welcome right now our new listeners and followers, and whoever is listening live right now, hello, tweet hello. In. We got some tweets coming in, Senor Smoke and Tyson. We're going to say hello to you. You can reach to us at Twitter, at The Giselle Show. Also, on iTunes and Stitcher, you can search for The Giselle Show Podcast. And you can find it all at our website, podcast.thegiselleshow.com. This is The Giselle Show Podcast. Meet friends. We will be right back.